It's just a name that hockey fans in Port Huron may recognize. He played during, I think it was the Border Cat days, Luke Murphy, who's turned into a pretty successful author. He's on the line with us this morning. Luke, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Was I right, Border Cat?
You were right, Border Cats, but you weren't right when you said successful, but I appreciate that.
Oh, come on now. You're on your fifth novel. I mean, that's pretty good. When did your first novel come out? I feel like it was just a year or so ago that we talked about this, but you've been writing for a while now.
Yeah, it has been a while. Actually, Dead Man's Hand came out in 2012, so it's been 7 years and, you know, a long time in between books being... Being a father of three little girls and a teacher and a tutor and a hockey ref and everything else that I take on, it's finding time to write's the tough part. But, yeah, so it's only been four novels in 7 years, but, you know, it's always fun each time.
That's pretty good. When do you find time to write? Do you kind of have to carve it into your schedule somehow?
Yeah, so winters are really tough because, you know, as I said, I'm a high school teacher and I tutor after schools, and then my daughters are involved in ringette and gymnastics and yoga and everything else. So usually the time I sit down is 9 o'clock at night when everyone's gone to bed, but some nights I'm just so exhausted that nothing really comes out. But summer times are much easier when school's off. You know, I've got about 6 weeks of holidays in the summer as a teacher, so I usually try to write a first draft in the 2 to 3 months of summer, and then winters are spent editing.
These are mysteries. Who were some of the authors that influenced you that you wanted to be like when you started writing?
Yeah, well, I think I got into the genre really as a kid reading the Hardy Boys. I guess that kind of shows my age, but I think they actually still do Hardy Boys mysteries. But I grew up with the Hardy Boys, and I think the first real adult mystery author I read was probably James Patterson. And I know a lot of my Amazon reviewers are saying how similar my books are to James Patterson in terms of, like, pace, you know, the short chapters, the quick reads. So I guess James Patterson would be the first one, but I mean, I've got so many favorite authors. I mean, Harlan Coben, Michael Connelly. I mean, all these authors write kind of mystery. Really, nowadays my books can be deemed not just mysteries, but you can also call them thrillers or crime thrillers or psychological thrillers or crime fiction, police procedural. I mean, there's all sorts of different genres that they can go into.
Do you have to do a lot of research? You know, you're talking about, you know, police work and procedurals and things like that. Do you have to do a lot of research when you start to write?
Yeah, I do. Whenever you see my book and you see the inside cover and you know this isn't, you know, written all by myself, I have so much help along the way. I mean, I have contacts in the LAPD, I have contacts in the Las Vegas Police Department. Those are the two cities where my series take place. So I have a doctor who I consult with constantly, any kind of medical stuff. And then I just, if I need a lawyer or if I need someone in the computer industry or, you know, a tech guy, I'm always making contacts, sending out emails, making phone calls, trying to find experts in their field, you know, to make, even though I write fiction, you want it as real as possible for the readers. So, you know, I've reached out to a lot of people and I've been very fortunate to made friends and have people help me along the way.
Tell us a little bit about Rockabye Baby. This is the new one.
Yeah, so this is the second book in my Charlene Taylor series. She's a rookie LAPD detective from Kiss and Tell, which was book one, published back in 2015. So it's kind of been 4 years in between these books. But after Kiss and Tell was release, I got a lot of emails from especially my female readers. They really liked Charlene. They liked how real she was. They could really make a connection to her. You know, she's this kind of the black sheep of the family, where she doesn't have a strong relationship with her family, and she's kind of still living the college lifestyle, and she likes to drink and curse, and so I think all of her faults kind of made readers kind of feel for her and want her to succeed. So I brought her back in Rockabye Baby. she has a leave of absence from her police department just because of all the problems she had in Kiss and Tell, her near-death experience. She's seeing a psychiatrist, and she's on medication and stuff. So she has a leave of absence, and she goes to visit her sister in Denver, where at that time there's babies are being kidnapped in the city of Denver, and unfortunately, Charlene's niece becomes involved in that, and so Charlene's kind of thrown headfirst into this whirlwind case of baby kidnappings that is related to one that occurred 7 years ago, and then you kind of try to have to weave through the all the twists and turns of the plot and try to figure out the mystery of who's behind it.
Not all male authors can write for females. What do you owe your ability to write a female character?
I think being surrounded by women my whole life. I grew up with two older sisters. I'm married. I have three daughters. It's funny because my wife works a lot. She works weekends and stuff. So I do a lot of the traveling with the girls and ringette and stuff. So they almost call me like the ringette mom and the soccer mom. You know, I take them around in the minivan and, I do with all these women in my life, I'm always asking them questions. So while I'm writing, I'll ask my wife, what would you be thinking in this situation? Or what would you do if this happened? And I'm always, using her as kind of a bouncing board there, just kind of, what would you think? What would happen? Stuff like that. She deserves a lot of credit for a lot of the actions in the books. But I also made Charlene a bit of a tomboy for myself. She loves baseball. She's known as the son her father never had. She's very athletic, and like I said, she likes to drink, and she's aggressive and rough around the edges at times. So that part of it, I'm kind of working with myself, but then, the more sensitive, more nurturing, more womanly side, I bounce a lot of ideas off the women around me. And most of my editors are women, too, which kind of helps.
Sure, absolutely. Do you keep in touch with any of your friends from the Border Cat days?
Yeah, I do. A lot of them through Facebook. Facebook's been great.
Right.
Like Paul Ferroni, and there's a lot of guys, Craig Nienhaus, Jason Simon, who's doing really well for himself there now. I follow him. Darren Banks, Jay Neal. There's a lot of guys. Facebook's the main source of, you can kind of follow their pictures, what's going on in their lives. You can send them private messages just to see how things are going. So, I definitely stayed in touch because Port Huron means a lot to me. I mean, it was my very first pro season, so I had no idea coming right out of college what to expect. My first time, I'm being really far from home, so I didn't have any family or friends or know anyone going in there. And, the whole city just kind of welcomed me, and you had the Booster Club, who was fantastic, and I made a lot of friends, and actually, some of those friends are still some of my closest friends today, which I contact them constantly. I'm always on Facebook, and they're always commenting on my posts. And so a lot of those people I met there are still really close friends today.
That's really cool. Well, congratulations on Rockabye Baby, the latest book by Luke Murphy, and you can connect with him on Facebook and Amazon and wherever you buy books. Luke, good talking to you. Thanks so much.
Well, thanks so much, Paul, and have a great day.
All right, you too. Take care. Bye now.